Log Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Dave and Linda. You're listening to Powerfully You Radio Talk Blog. We have a nice evening planned for you, but we're going to start off with a little music and just kind of let you kind of ease into it. Hopefully you will enjoy this. We'll all enjoy it.
Pretty voice on that song, wasn't it?
Pretty voice. I don't listen to a lot of contemporary, but every time I hear Mercy Me, I can usually really identify with the lyrics and with that one as well. So I'm going to let Linda kind of start off our discussion this evening because she's kind of leading on this one because this was something she really wanted to talk about. But, of course, I'm going to help and jump in, and as I usually do, whether she likes it or not. But, no, we'll be kind to each other. So, anyway, I'm going to let her start.
Well, tonight we're talking about navigating through being single, having a relationship, and relating all of that to being Christian. You know, and I, you know, had been single for quite a number of years, and I know that whole process of being single and being Christian can sometimes be challenging, sometimes be very rewarding if you, you know, navigate through that process well, with some understanding, and sometimes it can be lonely. So we're just talking about the dynamics of the whole thing. You know, being single, and then maybe even having a relationship where you're still, you know, trying to maintain your Christian or spiritual values and be in a relationship. Touch on, you know, when you've gotten a divorce and how that interacts with your church family or your spiritual family. So those are some of the things that I wanted to talk about. And I know for some people, being Christian and single, you know, I think for women, it may even be a little bit different than for men. And then maybe not. This is my own personal experience. Some of the things, and Dave, you can chime in there.
Yeah, I think I can give you the male perspective.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, some of the things I think as a woman, being single and Christian, you know, who you have to date with intention. Meaning you have to date knowing what you want. If you're dating and you just want to have fun, you just want to, you know, go out and enjoy another another's company, I think that's fine. But are you dating because you're looking for the man that you want to be with? Then that would be something entirely different. So I think it's very important to date with intention when you are dating and that kind of thing. And I think that for women, some of the things that we probably go through is how long is it going to take for me to find my husband? And, you know, that whole waiting process. What should you be doing? So, you know, that's some of the things we want to talk about. You have any input here?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think as far as dating with intention, I love that, the way you said that. But I would add that I personally, you know, believe that when men and women, and we're talking men and women, I'm not trying to exclude anybody, but that's the only perspective I have, and, you know, is that anytime you choose to spend one-on-one time with someone in a dating situation, there's a possibility that whether you went out with the intention of just being friends, it can develop into something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why my feeling when dating was always I only dated Christians and I only dated women that, you know, if something happened, there were some basis. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We are kind of having some technical difficulties as we have sometimes, but we're going to keep on going and hopefully everything will be all right. I think we're good until the episode ends, so we're just going to keep on going with it. We're still on the air. Everything is still going, so we're just going to go with it. I think some of the things, like I said, for women is, you know, at some point you want to get married. How do you go through, how do you navigate through that period of waiting for, as I've heard people say, waiting for your Boaz? I feel like when you're Christian and single, that in that waiting process, that you not, you know, just focus your time on, oh, I got to find my husband, I got to find my wife, that this is a good time for you spiritually to grow, for you to spiritually you know, do things that maybe you could, if you are You could go on mission trips. You can do a lot of studying. You can do all the things, travel. Maybe some of the things that you may not be as accessible when you have are married with children. I really feel like you should live your life while you're waiting and not, you know, just wait.
Yeah, let me ask you that. Maybe you may be saying the same thing. I think it's real close. If not, if you're single, and we've both been single for periods of time, then those are opportunities to learn to be content. You know, and I really believe that I've seen this happen many times with friends and people who reach that place, they've been frustrated, they've been waiting on that husband or wife, they've been looking, and they finally go, you know what, I'm just going to be single. And they learn to be content, single, worshiping God, having a close, personal, intimate relationship that lets them concentrate on that, and then God brings that person into their lives in a much better way. And I've seen that a lot. So, you know, what I would say, and I got pretty good at this, frankly, because as you know, before you and I met, I've been single for 20 years and was pretty darn content in that. Obviously, I must have had some stern or I wouldn't have found you. But my point was, I was okay if I was going to be single for the rest of my life. I was content with that because if that's what God called me to, then that's where I wanted to be. And so, you know, for all those people who are looking, I'm not saying don't look, but I'm saying, you know, let God bring it to you, bring that person to you, you know. And if you're going to look in the good places, you know, frankly, you're going to find more likely to find a spiritual match in places that are better than others. I'm trying not to step all over toes. I'm not trying to be, you know, too legalistic or, you know, but let's face it, you know, you're probably going to find your spiritual partner in a church or friends or, you know, that kind of thing. So we'll just leave it at that because I'm not trying to judge anybody. Or,
yeah,
you know.
Well, I feel like it in your circle of influence, be that church with good friends that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to touch on it. You know, even, you know, like if you're into the internet and you know,
tell
some people.
Tell our story.
Yeah. Some people, I'm okay with the match dating or whatever we want to call the internet match or whatever. I don't have a problem with that. Some people may, but it, you know, I was single for a long time. And single now in this day and age is a little bit different. We're living in such a mobile society that sometimes, you know, the old ways that we used to meet people are not always the ways that work now. So sometimes, you know, using the internet, I just feel like that you have to be careful when you date with the internet and that kind of thing. You know, tips like meet in a public place the first time you meet. And then a couple of times thereafter, really get to know that person before you take it to another level. Meet in the daytime for coffee or, you know, brunch or something the first few times to kind of get to know that person. For women, I think it's also very important to make sure people know where you are. You know, tell a girlfriend, family members, hey, I'm going to meet this person. This is where I'll be. Those were some of my standard tips that I had when I was, you know, dating that. And that is how Dave and I met. So I'll let you tell that story.
Yeah, so I would go a step further than Linda on this. And I'm not judging or criticizing eHarmony or Match.com or whatever the most popular ones are, but I deliberately went to Christian Mingle because I felt my chances of finding someone with similar values, similar goals, spiritual beliefs were there. And Linda and I met that way. I saw a picture of her. And I wish you guys could see her. You would know exactly what I'm saying because she just has an aura of sweetness and gentleness and all those things. And yet there's a firmness and a character about her that even in a picture, I was extremely intrigued. And we met and it just went from there. And that's a real great story. Unfortunately, they're not all great stories. And that's why, as Linda said, I would echo, you know, if you're going that route, be careful. You make sure if you're going to meet somebody that you meet them in a place that's, you know, like a Starbucks, or we met at a Panera Bread, because there's plenty of safe, it's safe there. Nobody's going to pull anything, and be ready to walk away. I mean, you know, don't worry about hurting somebody's feelings. If you don't feel right, walk away.
And that is true. And, you know, then when we did meet, we found that we had a lot of similarities, some differences, but, you know, we both from the same areas, just so many similarities that we had. But I just feel like sometimes we have to open ourselves to different avenues. But if we do open ourselves up to different avenues, then we have to be very careful when we do open it. And you're going to meet some good people that way, and you're going to meet some duds. That's the reality of life. You know, when you meet good people, you know, you invest in some time into seeing where that goes. And if you meet, you know, I'm being real, if you meet a dud, stop that, right? Why go on? You know, just politely and with, you know, courtesy. You know, just let that person know that, you know, I don't feel like this is going to be a good match, or don't call back or however. But I always feel like it's better to be upfront and honest with people. That's the best way to go. So I feel like those are some of the tips when you are kind of navigating through that process of meeting people. And I don't feel like the rules that maybe 20 years ago always apply, you know. And so we have to be open that there are different ways to meet people. And I do feel like the best ways are if you do meet someone through your church family or your friends or family or whatever, those are still, to me, the best ways. And then in meeting people, you know, if you're single, I'm going to talk about being divorced and single, newly divorced, maybe you've been divorced for a year or two and you're ready to start that dating game, you know, ease into it. And that's another thing, you know, still with intention that, you know, just sometimes make sure, I don't feel like you should bring old baggage into new things. If you're not gotten over some of the old baggage from past relationships, I really feel like we should heal first before we start meeting new people. That's my personal opinion.
I agree with you up to an extent. But I think you can't help but have baggage. You know, if you've had relationships, you there are things about those relationships that you take with you into the next one. I think what you have to learn to do is be fair about that baggage. For example, and let's be honest, we'll use ourselves. There were things that Linda would say to me that felt and sounded like something I had experienced before that was not positive, very negative. And I had to stop and go, whoa, that's not fair. That was someone else. This is Linda. I don't believe that. I don't believe she meant it that way. It just sounded and felt that way. But I think you have to be aware of that. Be fair to the other person that it's there. Everybody has baggage.
Yeah, we do have baggage. I do feel like, you know, for me, I think that you should have healed from past relationships before you start new ones. I do feel like we all have baggage. We all do have baggage. But sometimes I feel like if you're going into a new relationship, if you're raw in some areas, this is a good time before you really start dating to try to work through some of that, be that with counselors or whatever.
Yeah, but see, I think we have to be kind of careful here. And help me. If I've got this wrong or you disagree, then say so, or I'm not saying it well. So when you say heal, my first thought is, oh, so I'm supposed to be all good and not, you know, that's probably not going to happen.
No,
what I think you mean by heal is, and I like the word raw, that you're not raw, that you've at least got a scab on those wounds, you know, for lack of a better word, number one. Number two, you're not mad at the opposite sex.
Right.
Number three, you're not bitter and angry. You've dealt with those things. You're still going to have baggage. things are going to happen where you're going to have to stop and ask yourself, because we did, and occasionally, on a rare occasion, we still do, where we go, oh man, that doesn't sound right, that doesn't sound good, you know, and I'm upset with you, and then I find out you didn't mean anything. Like, I heard it, but I heard it because of my baggage.
Right. Well, I personally believe before you really, I feel like we all have stats. We all have baggage. I have my baggage. Everybody has it. But that you should have at least started the process.
I agree
of
with you.
Healing from some of those, or seeking treatment if you need to. Or, you know, sometimes you may have broke up with somebody, you know, 2 or 3 months ago, and you're looking for another relationship. Make sure that you're over that person before you come into a new relationship. And make sure that some of those issues that you see from that person, I feel like you should give every new person that you're starting, this is a new person, give them a fair shot. So, but, you know, that's just my thoughts on that.
Well, I'm going to be the devil's advocate, kind of try to place myself in somebody who's listening to us, who is single and who's trying to decide where they're going, or, you know, what they're going to do. And I'm going to ask you, well, how do I know? How do I know I'm over this person? I mean, are there some things I can look for? Are there certain things that, you know, triggers that I can go, oh, well, that's obvious. I'm not over, or I need to deal with this. How would you suggest you know?
Are you still talking about this person all the time with your friends and families? As a matter of fact, they almost hate to see you come because they know that this is going to be the subject that you're going to bring up all the time. This person is always on your mind, you know? Are you angry with this person and you have not gotten over the feeling or whatever? Do you still feel betrayed? You know, there is still a lot of emotions when this person is brought up in the conversation. Have you not forgiven this person? Those are some of the things. And if you haven't gone through that whole process, then I feel like you need to not pause. You know, sometimes it's okay to seek professional help if that's what you need to get through. Or, you know, just wait. Time does heal wounds. You know, sometimes maybe this is not the time for you to begin that process. Maybe you need to kind of deal with some issues and then move on.
You know, it's interesting you said there's several things there. Well, I so totally agree with you about the four main ones that I've always heard about, I have experienced and had to get past, is bitterness about what happened. Sometimes, and it's not I'm blaming anybody, I'm just going, God, how is this okay? You know, the second one is anger at the other person because you feel like you've been mistreated, it wasn't fair, et cetera, et cetera. The third one is forgiveness. And that means being able to forgive that person. But I'm going to bring two more in.
Okay, that's
that I
great.
Have that are the, they're actually the same thing, but there's a real twist is, have you forgiven yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have to. We're not perfect. We've made mistakes. I've made mistakes in relationships that God has, because I was willing to deal with the bitterness and the anger and forgive myself and the other person, God used what were bad choices to teach me a lot of stuff. But one of them is, you know, have you forgiven yourself? Are you still beating yourself up because of a divorce? And let's use the D word. But it could be long-term engagement. It could be long-term dating. But, you know, I mean, if you believe in the will of God, which I do, then I have to look at that and go, this has happened for a reason. Maybe the reason is because I made a bad choice. But whatever, have I learned what I need to learn? Am I ready to move on? And the way you measure that is what you said. Is that person what you talk about every time you're in a conversation? Well, then you're not over. You're not ready. Are you angry at that person or the opposite sex in general? Then, frankly, you're not ready to give somebody a fair chance. You know, and that goes both ways.
It does.
And, you know, same thing with forgiveness. If you haven't forgiven yourself and the other person, then you're not really ready. And yet, that's not an easy thing to do. It doesn't happen overnight. But and as Linda said, if you've got trusted, I call them cookie people. A cookie person is that person that you can go to, you tell them anything in the world, and they're still going to love you, and they're still going to tell you. But they'll also tell you the truth, you know. If you've got those people, spend some time with them. If you need to go see a trained counselor, whatever the right word is, then I would encourage you to do it. I used to be totally against that stuff. I don't need that. I don't need some psychologist. Now, I was wrong. They have helped me in my past. And Linda, she still serves that purpose for me a lot. I mean, we just talk through things.
Yeah. So, you know, that's one part of being the single, you know, and navigating through that process. And we kind of talked about divorce, but when you're newly divorced, one of the other things I wanted to bring up was now how difficult it is when maybe you and your spouse went to the same church. So now you're divorced. And what do you do now? Because sometimes you can feel uncomfortable in the church setting that you both went together. Sometimes that can change your social situations. You know, sometimes people shy away from both of you for a while because, you know, you guys are divorced, and it's almost sometimes can be like, oh, you have the plague. And then there are those who will come alongside you and say, hey, you know, we got you, we love you, always want to hold on to those people. But I feel like that question of what do you do with that when you are newly divorced and trying to navigate through, you know, that whole your religious setting and what do you do now? And I feel like you have to look at that, what works. I feel like there are some people that are mature, and I think it kind of takes you talking and being open in dialogue with even that ex-spouse. If, you know, how important is it for you to continue at this church? Is this uncomfortable? I still will be coming to this church. How is that working? You know, and still participating, maybe going, if you're in another church, they have single groups and that kind of thing. You know, I feel like when you're ready for that, then you go. This will take some communication between you and the ex-spouse. You know, to me, when you get a divorce, I have found, and it worked better for me to keep especially if you have children, you have to keep the lines of communication open. And so sometimes it may be good to touch base, like, hey, I'm dating now. Not that you're asking for their permission or any of that thing, but it at least gives them the heads up, especially if you're going to be in the same social circle sometimes or you're going to run into each other. I feel like it's a courtesy thing to say, hey, I'm dating right now. What are your take on that?
Well, I haven't been in those shoes, and both of us, let's be open. You know, we've always, in fact, I meant to start this program off again. I'll stop and say it now. We are average guys.
Mm-hmm.
We've made our mistakes.
Definitely so.
We've made our choices, some successful, some bad. Both of us have been married and divorced twice before,
mm-hmm.
sadly.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's another story. Another night,
yeah.
Another story.
Yeah.
But so I've been in a divorce situation, and the one particularly was my first wife, where we had gone to this church and we were known as a couple, et cetera, et cetera. I had my friends, she had her friends, and then we had mutual friends. And I can't imagine, frankly, going to the same church with a divorced spouse. Some people can pull that off.
I feel like if you can, it takes communication.
I kept going to that church. She did not. But that was her choice. I didn't ask her not to. We didn't talk about it. But I'm with you. I think you should. I mean, that should be fair.
Yeah.
What I discovered, and I was very young at my first divorce, and what I discovered was over time and looking back that people were a lot more accepting than I thought they were. It was my paranoia. It was my embarrassment of being divorced because, you know, I was one of those guys that said, well, it'll never happen to me. You know, I'm married a lot. I'll never get a divorce. It'll never happen. You know,
It happens.
It happens. I'm not. We're not going to go into scripture and when it's justified.
No.
When it's, I don't want to go there.
No,
I'm
talking about it. Yeah.
Let me finish that thought. And that is, because I really want to say this to people who may be in this book, you would be shocked, I think, if you could really sort of get into the minds of the people around you, you would find that they're a lot more accepting than you thought, that they're not as condemning as you think they might be. And a lot of them truly do want to reach out to you. The ones that seem to be standoffish, they don't know how. That it's not that they don't want to. It's not that they're not willing to give you a hug and encourage you. They don't know what to say. And I really believe that is the vast majority. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and I do agree with that. I do believe that the vast majority of people are willing to help. And sometimes it takes you to make yourself comfortable first with the whole process. And that takes time. Time is a great thing here, but sometimes it's difficult going through the process of that time. And then there are some who just kind of feel like, not sure. And this is when you find out who your real friends are. Because I feel like the people who really have a vested interest in you and your well-being will reach out to you, you know, a lot of the time. And if they don't, I feel like you should just continue. And, you know, it may be time that you're just adjusting and navigating your way through what works for you. You might want to try some of the single groups. And still, you know, if you go to an average church, there's all kind of people. I feel like the ones that really love you and have a vested interest in you at some point will reach out. I think you have to give people time to also adjust to your new status, as well as giving you time. So, you know, allow time to kind of work the situation out. A lot of times people just have to adjust to your new status. Those who really love you will reach out to you. And it's okay to reach out to friends. Hey, how are you doing? You can glean from that, from their response, where they are, you know?
Yeah, let me add to that is, you know, you can do them a favor. You can actually do them a favor by reaching out to them, because then what you're saying to them is you're open. You want to continue that friendship. And they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're thinking, do I have to pick? You know, I used to be friends with both of them. Now I can only be friends with one. They don't know. And you can actually help them deal with the new situation. And then there are going to be some times where you're going to give some friends up.
And that's a reality.
You know, because it's not going to work.
Right.
You know?
And
that happens too.
It's unfortunate. And then, you know, again, with time, you never know how people will be 2 or 3 years down the lane. You just give it time and just keep it open and keep navigating and trusting God through this whole process. You know, what I have found in those times that I've had to go through this is that I became a much stronger person, having to deal, sometimes letting some friends go. For me, a lot of times it was, it was a total life change for me, not just going to another church. I went to another religion. So it was a change for me. But through that whole process, and it's a process, and you see yourself as this is a new path, this is a new process for you, give your time to walk and go through the process.
I want to ask you a question here. So, because I think this might be fruitful, whatever the right word is for those who are listening. So I think you said, I won't try to even paraphrase it, but you had to make a break. You had to go somewhere else. You had to change churches. What do you think? No, I'm not going to do that to you. It's not fair. Let me tell you what I think that does for you and see if you agree. If not, then please. I think that in some ways makes you spiritually self-sufficient. In some ways, that kind of forces you to go to God one-on-one. You can't just look at the pastor and do whatever he says. You can't just follow the rules and the regulations that you've always followed. Or maybe that's my stuff, being raised the way I was, that you find out, you know, I'm going to have to really deal with God one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I need him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have all these resources And I think there's some good that comes out of
that. There is some good that comes out of that. Through that whole single period in my life, I was able to grow spiritually, study my word more, spend more time with God. Granted that going through the single process, some of that, you know, my children were grown too. The grown children going through a divorce, and at the time that I was going through it, well, actually going through a whole new religious change because I was a Muslim and then I became a Christian.
Yeah,
so
can I just want to jump in here because I think this is pertinent to what you're saying, that the people know it's okay that Linda left the Muslim nation. I mean, when she made a break, she made a break.
Yeah.
She left the Muslim nation. She left great friends who are still friends.
Yeah.
That are still in the nation. She had to walk away from family members who basically disowned her when she walked away from her mother. So I kind of tricked her into this self-sufficiency because she had to be self-sufficient. She didn't have a church. She didn't have a church family. She had to start all over. So she can really speak to this better than just about anybody I know.
Well, yeah, and I did have to start all over with, and I did. I left the area that I lived in and moved to Tennessee, so that was, you know, where I really didn't know anybody. But I felt that was good for me and the people that I was around. But mostly, I have to admit, for me to start over clean and fresh, was that difficult? Because everything at that point was new. New city, new job.
No friends. No church family.
Just totally new. I'm not really suggesting that for people because that was a very difficult time in my life. But it really helped me grow with the Lord because there was nobody else to go. Now, those things came. When I came to Tennessee, I did find a church, supportive friends through work and everything. I mean, everything really happened, and I believe that was God within 6 months of me getting here. And within 6 months of me getting here, I mean, I have found friends that I am still friends with and I found them all around the same time. So that was good. But really, for those 6 months, it was me and my girls and God, which now as I look back on that, probably would have been the most growth I've had in my Christian relationship,
mm-hmm.
a really significant yeah. time of growth.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, and I don't want to get off track. There's two things I want to say. Unfortunately, we can get spiritually lazy when things are easy and we've got our church family and we just follow these little rules and, you know, we just do these things and feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the tough times. Me, you know, it's changing for me, and I think it's changing for you. So our relationship with God matures. I don't think we need as many of those challenges because we've already learned from the previous ones.
Yeah.
I'm not saying each young guy's a lot to learn. But I also want to add, just for our listening audience, that Linda can't go back. She saved her two brothers.
Yeah.
And she saved her dad. She went back and shared Christianity, and they chose to convert. And again, we're not pushing religion or anything on anybody. That's our,
yeah.
that's how we are.
Yeah.
But there's a good story there.
There is a good story. Actually, God did it. But
yeah.
The field was open for me to say some good things, and really, God did the work there, but yeah, I was able to witness to them and bring them along. So really in this single process, to bring it all back in a circle, be open to how God can use you. Sometimes in your singleness, you are a little bit freer to be used of God in maybe ways that married couples cannot always do because of children or whatever. You have that freedom, and that is a blessing.
Yeah, use.
Yeah.
God used it for me. It wasn't always a deliberate choice on my part as much as it was him arranging and, you know, and opening a door and whatever. But, you know, things like, can you serve more? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a spouse and kids, you have more free time. And service is there's no doubt in my mind. The only thing I would say about that is do the things you want to do and not the things you think you're supposed to.
Right.
And God will lead you there. Do a mission trip.
This is the perfect time
for that. Let God use this single time to grow you and mature that relationship. You know, we're talking about relationships, and I don't think we're going to go there tonight because I'd like to have a whole nother evening on relationship between you and God, because Lynn and I have talked about this a lot. We really do believe there are stages, there are points, there are times, and it's fun to talk about, think about, because it's become very real to us. But like I said, I think that's a whole other program.
It is.
But let God be open to those things. If you see a need and it's something you want to do, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, and I really believe that when you find your service calling, it won't be a chore. It won't feel like work. You'll enjoy it. It'll be a blessing to you. If that's not happening for you, I would suggest you reevaluate where you're serving.
Right.
Now, there are some things we all should do regardless. Jesus named it.
Right.
Be the poor, care for the widows, orphans. Those are no-brainers, frankly.
Right.
But maybe you are a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you love to teach. Maybe you like cleaning the bathrooms. That's as important as anything.
Yeah.
You know, so I would use this time. And if you've got a pastor or friends or people who you can talk to, ask them, what do you think I'm cut out to do? You would be shocked. I know I have been. When my friends have said, oh, Dave, you're really good at this. And I go, huh? I didn't really realize that, you know, and then I started thinking about it. But
yeah.
It's a great time to bond what really excites you about the kingdom of God and where you fit, you know?
And I would encourage, if you feel that, because there are some, if you don't have a single ministry or a single ministry at your church, plan some gathering with, and that's the beginning, you know, with some other single members of the church, not necessarily even to connect, but to get to know each other. And just socially, to even have friends socially that, you know, you guys all are going through the same process again.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because we almost missed this. And for me, this is a big one. Don't be too alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you said that. You need social interaction. That's a human need. And the reason I can speak to this is because that's what I did for a long time. Here was a typical week for me after my second divorce, and there were other things that caused me to go here. Work 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, go rent movies on Friday night, and not speak to another soul till Monday morning. That was my life. It was not good for me. It was safe. I felt like it was safe. I didn't have to worry about anybody being upset. I hadn't forgiven myself. There's all kinds of reasons for that. But I ended up being clinically depressed, and that was a large part of it. So I would say to you, find your friends,
mm-hmm.
find your family, and deliberately spend some time with them. Don't wait, don't go months
no.
without seeing or talking to anybody who really loves you.
Right. Connect with people. Make it a point. Even if it's just once a week, once every other week or whatever, make a point to not go into a shell, but to connect with, if it's family, whatever, friends or whatever, make a point to connect. And find that group that socially you feel good in. You guys are uplifting for each other. I was blessed to have like this group of friends that really, to tell you the truth, they're more like family to me at this point. So that was good for me. I feel like that was a blessing from God for me to find this group of friends that I still love to this day. And probably they helped me more than any of them know.
Yeah, then I have another point in regards to being single, and that is sometimes you have to cut some things. You know, we've talked about relationships, but we're really, well, I think maybe we're talking more about being single than even than relationships. They go together. But I know for me to grow, to really begin to feel and get my relationship, I had to cut away friends that I couldn't do the things they were doing. Now, we won't go into detail. We'll just say they weren't very spiritual. And they weren't good things, okay? And I love these friends. I still love them. I could still call any of them up and have a conversation and give them a hug, but I couldn't hang out with them anymore. And I think that's something for everybody to have to decide and think for themselves. It's a very, very rare young person anyway who can do that. I could now go back, not regularly, and be in those places that I once was and totally keep my Christian integrity. But I couldn't then.
And I feel like that's important when you're single. You know, you have friends that may be spiritual and may not be. And that's to your discretion. You know, when people, there are certain people in your life that lead you positive, and those are the people I really encourage you to fill your life with. They're positive, they're uplifting. When you go around them, you feel inspired or you just feel good. And then there's those that have self-defeating attitudes, or they're doing things, whatever that is, that you know is not good for you personally and probably not for them. Those are the people, this is a good time to, you know, everybody comes into your life for a reason and a season, and that's including old love relationships. When the season is up, it's time to move on.
Yep.
Doesn't mean that it's nasty, mean, or anything. It just means the season is up. You know, when you were young, maybe you liked the party and all of that, and that was a season. But now you're almost 30 years old, and you're in another season. Maybe you got a child. Maybe you're trying to work on your career, work on yourself. You're in a new season in life. And so maybe the people that you party with, and they're still in that party mentality, it's time to let them go. Their season is up.
And maybe God's got you single.
Yeah.
For a season, for a reason.
For a reason. To grow you. Yeah. And we talked about growing into your timing. To
yeah.
grow you in this season so that in your next season, and then
right.
we'll bring this to getting into a relationship while single. So that kind of really works itself into that.
Well, let's use ourselves, because we
yes.
keep saying we're average. I'm going to give you one. Whether you guys wouldn't know this listening to us, unless you've listened more than once, is that Linda and I are an interracial couple. We would not have been ready for each other 10 years ago.
Hmm.
We wouldn't have seen each other spiritually. We would have walked right past each other without giving it a second thought. But God prepared us, and he gave us different eyes.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's actually a prayer of mine. To see beyond skin color or hair type or body type for any of those things and go, wow, look at this person. I see the love in their eyes. I see the sweetness in their demeanor, you know, and you can develop those skills. God developed those in me because I wanted them. And so when I saw Linda, boom, I saw all these wonderful features in 10 seconds.
Pretty much the same thing. I mean, a very nice, loving, giving, caring man. And it was immediate that I felt that from you.
Yeah, and it wasn't that teenage love at first sight.
It was not. Well, was then the other thing is that we are older.
Right. No,
we're a more mature couple now.
But it was a, wow, this person has the attributes, all that I've learned to look for.
Right.
You know, and it ain't eye color.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, you get older and you realize that's not very important. We were fortunate. We were blessed So we do
blessed.
Believe ours is a match made in heaven. Literally.
Literally, we do believe that.
Sounds kind of egotistical, but I believe it.
I believe it totally. And that, you know, and then we navigated that single period where we're
yeah.
now like, and we had periods where we had to define, and you know that was the woman in me. Now, where are we in this? You know, after we had dated for so long, the woman in me, and I think women do that. Are we a couple? Are we just friends?
Yes.
Believe me,
she's not afraid to ask those questions.
Yes. And I feel like it's okay as I look back on some of it. Some of that is okay if that's what you need. I think you have to tread that carefully. I feel like if you've been dating exclusively for 6 months or longer, you're kind of getting into we're a couple here, unless you guys, and I feel like communication is the, I feel like communication is the key in that situation. So,
So, I mean, you know, we've talked about relationships, but there is a point in time, and let's be fair, guys, you know, and I'm speaking to the guys, that your opposite dating person needs to be told the honest truth. You know, if they're asking where we're going and you're not and you don't see it going anywhere more than friends, you owe it to
yeah.
them, yourself, in fairness, to say no, it's not going anywhere. And here's what's really funny is at one point Linda, and I hope it's okay. Do you mind? Linda basically said to me, Dave, I want this relationship to end in marriage. And I'm like, I knew I loved her. There was no doubt in my mind. But I've already been married twice. So getting married was a little scary. Plus, I had spent 20 years preparing myself to be single for the rest of my life. I didn't expect to ever get married again. And she actually walked away for a little while. We both walked away from each other for a little while. I quickly realized I wanted her in my life and that, you know, I wasn't afraid of marriage. I was afraid of failure. And then I realized I had the perfect partner, that I can't see us ever failing. We're going to work. We're going to share. We're going to whatever. So I guess what I'm saying is be fair.
And to me, it was, some people might find, I can be very soft-spoken, but I can be very direct. And I'm a very direct person. And for women, you know, I'm going to be honest. I was at that point, like, when we were dating, we were mid-50s.
Right.
Because we're later.
Right.
You know, we were mid-50s. And I felt like, you know, I'm not 20 anymore, and I don't have 2 years to invest in having a boyfriend. I just don't. So if you are not interested in a relationship that's working toward marriage, let's be real. You go your way. God bless you. Peace. God watch between us while we are apart.
That's exactly what we did for a very short time.
Yes.
It didn't take me very long to wake up. Linda was fine. And I think I think she was hurt.
Yeah.
But I had to say, I had to be honest with her and not say, oh, yeah, sure, in 6 months. That wouldn't, because I couldn't say that. All I could say to her is, I'm not sure. And that was enough for her to feel like she needed to move on. I quickly fixed that situation when I, without her, I realized how much I wanted her in my life as a partner. But that's our story.
That is our story, and you have to gauge your own story. If you're in your 20s, I feel like you should give a relationship a good year, year and a half. And I feel like you should give – we had really dated a year before I actually came to this part. You know, it wasn't like right in the beginning.
Yeah,
it
wasn't
of the relationship.
2 weeks in.
No, we had dated. And
it was fair.
For me, I feel like I don't want to go into another year if we're just going to be friends and seeing each other, you know – which is nothing wrong with that. It just wasn't for me. So I feel like you have to gauge that with your age, where you are. That still goes back to dating with intention. Even if you guys call yourself a couple now, what's the intent? Are we And everybody's different. If you guys are both okay with, we are casually dating, we just want to maintain friends and go to social gatherings together, I feel like that's fine. If you're kind of dating with intention because at some point you want to be married, then at some point there's going to have to be defined periods of where you feel this relationship is going. So that's just our tip. You have anything else? I feel like we probably need to go ahead and end the program.
Well, other than to say honesty, honesty, honesty.
Communication.
I mean, we've all heard it, we've all kind of figured it out, and we've all gone, I don't want to do it, it's hard work, but it's worth it. We have gotten really good at it, but I think the reason Lynn and I are so good at it is we totally trust each other. So even when Linda has something hard to say to me, I know she wants my best, and that makes that hard a lot easier to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know she's not mad at me. She's not upset with me. She's not, calling me a worm. She's just saying, hey, Dad, this bugs me. Or whatever.
Same for him, you know.
And we don't take it. I mean, we do take it personally, but not really.
No.
You know? But that's a trust thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to add that. If we're kind of trying to wrap up, if you want to wrap, that's fine. But, you know. Use your single time. There's a really good chance God wants to meet you in that time and grow you in a way that he can't grow any other time. I know that was true for me. And some of it was hard. I mean, I had to hit clinical depression to really get everything God. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, and get some help. And really what pulled me out of that clinical depression was service.
Mm-hmm.
When I realized, hey, it's time to get up and move on. It's time to do what you do, Dave, which is love people and provide for people. And once I made that choice and quit, got my eyes off of me so much and a lot more on others, God healed me. I have no doubt.
I feel that. I don't know. I feel like I had situational depression, especially after the divorce. Thank God for my girls and for good friends that I was able to get out of that within a certain period of time. But I feel like process the emotions that you feel and allow them to work yourself time to work through those emotions. If you're coming from that, you know, divorce, past relationship, process those emotions, allow you to, if you need help, it is no shame in getting help. It just helps you to get through that process and find some understanding and clarity.
Yeah, and because we always want to be real practical and give you something to walk away with. If you're in that place where you're just struggling,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're having trouble putting one foot in front of the other. You're having trouble getting out of bed in the morning and going to work. And nobody knows it because if you were like me, I got out of bed. I was functional. I put a smile on my face, and nobody knew. Nobody knew. I mean, nobody knew, including my family, because I had ran off. I'd gone to another part of the country. You know, I ran. I hid because I didn't want to face anybody or anything. And you would hear people go, oh, so what you did was you just stuffed that stuff down. And I would hear people, well, you're just stuffing. And I go, I don't understand what you mean. I really don't. I don't get it. So what I want to say to those people, you know, if you're young or younger, as I was, and you don't understand how to deal with your own feelings, get some help.
Mm-hmm.
I got some help. I mean, I got help. Now, mostly my help was to get back in touch with my family, to actually pull two members of my family, my mom and dad, back to me and take them with me. And it was a service thing, but they ministered to me as much as I ministered to them. Find people that will help you get healthy. If you don't know how to get healthy, then find somebody who does. And don't be ashamed.
No.
I had to do meds for a short time to kind of get over this hump. I'm not ashamed of that. I don't hide that. I don't shout it from the mountaintops, but I needed help.
And I feel like it's okay if you have gotten those meds from a physician or whatever. sometimes, you know, I feel like we have stigmas of this and that, or you're not allowing God to help you. Well, I hate to tell you that, you know, if you need that, God may have brought that division or whatever into your life to help you through this. Like I said, it's a situation and a time span. So we just have to.
Well, I want to add to that. We still got 9 minutes if we need them.
Yeah.
I want to add to that in that I didn't use the mat as a crutch. I used it as a part of my treatment, so to speak. And by that I mean, I don't think it should be the only thing you do. And if you don't get well, you just pop more and you take a higher dose. I don't want that. I mean, I just needed enough to even out long enough to get a new perspective. And so I'm with Linda in that. Be careful. You know, find a good counselor, find a good psychiatrist or doctor who understands what you're going through and says, look, we'll start you off on the smallest and let's see how you do. Because I don't want it to be a crutch, because it can. It can block things that God may want to teach you. There are seasons, and there are times we can't be high all the time. We can't be happy all the time. It's not humanly possible.
No, and you just have to be aware of that. But that's why you want to seek medical treatment and listen to your doctor.
Right.
We are, you know, not saying not to do that. The other thing is that, you know, a lot of churches now have pastoral counselors. If you feel more comfortable with that,
right,
please seek that out. Again, not plugging, but I am. And there are coaches in your area. Some parts of job, a coach is to coach you through a difficult time till you reach that. But coaches are not counselors. They coach you with a goal set in mind. A counselor will help you through that difficult process that you're going through in there. And I just feel like sometimes as spiritual people, we are afraid of those things, and we don't have to be. People are trained in those to help us through those times. Well, those are some of our tips and things that have gotten us through those periods of navigating being single to the point now that we are married and happily married, I will say, for me.
Oh, me too.
And so I feel like we could bring this to the table because we've navigated through that.
Yes, we've been on all sides of this. We've
right.
been the young single. We've been the married working through stuff. We've been the divorced. We've been the newly divorced. We've been the divorced again.
Yes. So we can really see
and we're not perfect.
And we're not perfect. And don't, you know, claim to be. That's some of the thing with our program is that we want to be really real to you. And sometimes we'll be open about areas in our lives that, you know, sometimes you think, oh, well, people could judge this. But, you know, if we're going to help somebody else, we have to kind of be open to know that you're not the only one going through processes and that God will get you through. Because we've navigated all those areas and God brought me a great gift in Dave.
So let's finish with these two things. I think that we want to try to finish almost everyone with these two things. Folks, we would love to hear from you. If there is anything we can do for you, if you have a comment, if you have a question, I'm not saying we'll have the answer, but we want to minister to you in any way we can, number one. Second one, let's close with prayer, just like we did last week, and I'll leave. Lord, I just pray for everybody listening that, you know, is stuck going through relationships. They may be married, they may be new divorced, they may be single. Lord, I just pray that they look to you for their needs because you are the only one who can give us security and contentment and fulfillment. A spouse doesn't do that.
Yes.
And that's another thing we probably should have talked about. But, Lord, I just pray that they meet you, they know you, and that they understand that you're right there ready to put your arm around them and help them. And that they can use these times to grow spiritually. So I just pray you touch them. I pray you prosper them, Lord. And I pray that you just meet their needs. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Have a great week. And we'll see you next
Sunday.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye-bye.